Well, I think we have heard so much this morning also concerning the matter of consecration, right? What can I say? I'm speechless tonight. Because consecration is not a matter of doctrine. Right. It's a matter of a wonderful relationship with God. We believe in the Lord Jesus not because we need salvation. Of course we do. We do need salvation. Who doesn't? We all need help. Right? But God's desire is not just to save us. Remember, the motive of sending His Son to come is because He loves us. Amen. He loves us. He's not only our Creator, He's our Father. Right? As Creator, of course, He owns us. Whatever you created belongs to you, right? But a Father is more than just a Creator. There's a wonderful relationship of life and of love, right, which no one can explain. Right? It's a relationship. So what is your relationship with God, James? What kind of relationship do you have with God? As a son? You're sure of that? Not just because we asked the question tonight, so and you know the answer, right? But it should be a reality. It should be a reality. It cannot be explained. No one can explain that. It's a relationship of love and life. You know, even the animals, they know that. Right. It's not good to approach a cat just having kittens and you want to go near and you know what the reaction will be, right? All of a sudden, there's a reaction. Somebody's coming to steal my children away. Definitely. Even the animal have this kind of instinct. All kinds of animals, even the birds. Even the birds. Amazing. God is a wonderful God. If you just realize this, you can see why would God send Himself to come and suffer so much just to save us? Yeah. Are you worthy to be saved? How about that? You think you're worthy so that God will come and save you, paid such a great price? Actually, for Him, we are worthy. That's why He came. That's why He came. If somebody kidnapped you, James, and required a ransom, who's going to pay that ransom for you? He couldn't find anybody and he turned his head not to me, but to you. You have no choice. You have no choice. Because you're the Father. You would do everything to pay that ransom. And the scripture did say that Christ paid the ransom for us. We were deceived by Satan. Yeah. Right. We belong to God. He not only created us, right? Remember, he breathed his life into man, and so for God, it is out of love. You have to appreciate that. You have to appreciate that. You know, every time I thought about my parents, I cannot help but love them because they sacrificed so much. My parents have 13 kids. Wow. Wow. A lot of people ask me, how did your mother manage? What can I say? How did? Yeah, Shirley. Oh, George. Right. So my brother sitting there, you can testify. They sacrificed so much. How can I ever forget that? Now compare that to what God has done for us. Right. We think, okay, he did it. Why? John says, because he loved us. That's the only reason. We don't love him. At least we didn't love him first. He first loved us. So our relationship with this wonderful God should be a relationship of love. Not just believing in him. Many people believe in him. Yeah. But it's that relationship, right? With your children, isn't it? You love your children? Why? It's a foolish question to ask, right? Right, Nene? You cannot even explain why you love your children. Because they are very good, excellent, super obedient. No. Why did you love them? It cannot be explained. Just like the love of God for us. We cannot explain. Who can explain that? Who can explain that? Right. So, consecration to God. It is a matter of love. It is a matter of love. That is God's motive of sending his beloved son himself, actually, coming even to die for us, paying the ransom to redeem us back. Redemption, the word redemption means something was lost and you paid a great price because it was so precious for you. You were willing to pay the price to buy it back so that it will come back to be your possession. That's what the word redemption means. If you lost something so precious, you're willing to pay the price to redeem it back. Right? We sing, well, redemption is just, okay, he just, save us and bring us back. No, he paid a big price. He paid a ransom. If you thought of that, aren't you grateful? And more than grateful, what will be your reaction, Sam? Not only to be thankful and grateful, right? You will consecrate yourself to him. You will give yourself to him. Yeah. It's not an obligation, I want to do something for him. It's not doing something. You want your child to do something for you? When you gave birth to your child, you expect your child, now you better do something for me, okay? Serve me, huh? No. You think God requires that from us? Oh, definitely not. The first thing is our relationship to him. If that relationship is normal, is in the right way, then everything else will follow without any forcing. Right? It is out of love. He did it out of love for us. So whatever we do for him must have the same reaction. Out of love we serve him. Yeah. It is out of love. Then your service will be for nothing. You don't serve for money, eh? You serve God for money. For a position? No. If that is the way you serve, then your service is not acceptable. God doesn't need that kind of service. Yeah. So in the matter of the consecration, it is out of his love for us. It is a privilege to serve him as priests. So, as a priest, George, are you a priest? Yeah. So, what are you going to give him to have that priestly position? How worthy are you? If you read the scriptures, God gave the priests more than the priests give something to God. Where do the priests get that wonderful, glorious garments? From whom? From God. Right? God commanded this beautiful, wonderful priestly garment. What did the word say? It is for glory and for beauty. Who's going to give you such garments? George, where are you going to get such garment? From God. So what do you give God, being called a priest? Right? We gave him nothing. We gave him nothing. Who did your children get everything? How much did they pay you? James, who did you get everything? Don't tell me. My grandmother gave it to me. No, we receive everything from him, from God. If you would consider that, then you will be ever grateful to him. Amen. James says, every good thing comes from above, from the God of light. Every good thing comes from him. Yeah. Without him, we would have nothing. No. So even the garments, we talked about a garment this morning, right? Without those garments, they cannot consecrate themselves. No. And those garments are really beautiful. Beautiful. If you get into that description of the priestly garment for a great high, for the high priest, my, I don't think anybody can even make it today. And it is given as a gift of God to Aaron. And it says, for glory and for beauty. Don't think God is not for beauty. No, look at all the creation of God is so beautiful, right? Sometimes if you look at beautiful birds, wow, with all the different colors, and they can even fly. It's a marvel, right? It's a wonder. God's creation. God's creation. I was cleaning up something in the garage a couple of days ago, and the little tables there, it's been in a garage, sitting there for some time. So I thought, well, maybe we might need it for the conference, so take it out to clean it. And lo and behold, there's a spider web there. Daddy long legs, you know, the long leg spider. And once I open it, and this, I not only I got a shock, the spider got a bigger shock. And it was scrambling and trying to hide. I said, how can that little thing know how to run and hide? With such a small brain? Who taught that spider what to do? I told God, you are a wonderful creator. That even a spider like that knows how to escape and try to run away from danger and try to hide. And I even had a hard time trying to get it. My first thought coming to my mind is, God, you created such a spider with such a brain that can run away from me? Our God is a wonderful God. And we have such a big brain and we don't need God. We're rebellious against God. Right. Man began to rebel against God, building Babylon. What was his name, the first guy who did that? Nimrod. He was a great hunter. That means he's a big rebellious ones. And he built the Tower of Babel. He's the initiator of Babylon. Trying to be great. Well, actually, Satan is the first one who rebelled against God. So, the Lord saved us out of love for us. You don't realize how precious we are to God. Yeah. We are very precious for God. Right. This is marvelous. This is why the consecration is prepared by God. Firstly, we need to be washed, right? The first point, wash. How often do you wash yourself? As often as possible. Anytime you feel dirty, you wash. The Lord washes, cleanses with His precious blood. Yeah. Praise the Lord for His precious blood. You need to appreciate that. Sanctified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our brother mentioned through the washing of the water in the Word. There are different kinds of washing. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're washed by what? Even by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're washed. By the Spirit of our God, we are washed. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing of the water in the Word. There are many ways of washing. Right? Many ways of washing. Praise the Lord. Right? So, the first process of consecration is to be washed and cleansed. Because our God is a holy God. And the second point is, you must put on the garments. Wonderful garments. Holy garments. Pure garments. Fine white linen. Pure and bright. It's amazing. You cannot serve God just as you are. For salvation, yes. You know that famous song, "Just as I am, without one plea." That's for salvation. Don't use that for the priesthood. Because you cannot serve just as you are. No. You need to be cleansed. You need to be washed. And then you need to be beautified with beautiful garments, amazing, wonderful garments for glory and beauty, because you're serving God. You cannot be a homeless guy and serve God. I'm coming to serve God with dirty clothes and no. With holiness. Worship God in the beauty of holiness. The garments are for beauty and for holiness. Are you aware of that when we come to serve as priests? Yeah, George, are the saints. All have this concept of coming to serve as priests with beautiful garments, expressing the glory of the Lord, holy and beautiful. This is the expression of heavenly Jerusalem, right? John says it's a holy city, having the glory of God. It's beautiful. You think God doesn't have a sense of beauty? Ah. You just have to look at yourself. Look, you're so beautiful. Among all of God's creation, a human being is the most beautiful being. Because you're created in His image and in His likeness. But the devil wants to change us into his terrible... ugly expression. No. For beauty and glory. Yeah. Remember Psalm 110? The army There are the volunteers. They are arrayed, what, in the beauty of holiness. So holiness is not just to be holy. You don't realize it is beauty in the eyes of God. Beautiful in the eyes of God. In Zion, the city of Zion, it says what? Beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Yeah, you think God doesn't know how to build a beautiful city? Yeah. The beauty of holiness is really wonderful. So right in the beginning, the start of the consecration of priesthood, those garments must be ready. And Aaron and his sons must wear those garments. And they must be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Everything used by God in the Old Testament time must be anointed. If you're a prophet, you have to be anointed. If you're a king, you have to be anointed. All the priests must be anointed. Whatever God wants to use must be anointed. Without the anointing, it's useless for God. Right. So, who is going to supply the anointing oil? God. It's a pure olive oil. Wonderful. Right. So after our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation, a complete salvation, what did he do? He poured out the Holy Spirit. You cannot serve God without the anointing. It's impossible. You'll be using your own ability to serve God. It's not acceptable. Now give me a reason why it's not acceptable. Stephen, because we are unholy, fleshly, fallen human being. Whatever my hand touch that is unholy, that thing becomes unholy. Yeah. So, whatever we can do for God, eventually you will find out sooner or later it's not acceptable. This is why everything will fall apart. At the very end, you will see everything will fall apart. So, for the consecration, the anointing oil is ready. So, it's God has prepared everything. And then you need a sin offering, a big one, a bull, not a small goat, not a small lamb. But for the consecration of the priesthood, you need a big bull for a sin offering. What does it tell us? As priests, our experience of this wonderful, complete salvation and forgiveness of the Lord should be very complete. We should have the sense of what is right and what is wrong, what is clean, what is unclean. Because the priest is supposed to teach people what is holy, what is unholy, what is clean and what is unclean, what is life and what is death. How can you teach people if we ourselves are half dead? And I don't mean teaching doctrine. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and The scribes, they can all teach. They know the Bible more than anybody else. But what's the problem with them? Not only dead, they are evil. They want to crucify the Lord. They're envious of the Lord. They want to kill him. Can you imagine what has the Lord done when he was on this earth? He did everything possible to save people, to help people. He even raised the dead, okay? Can they do that? They kill people, but the Lord raised the dead. You want to kill somebody who raised the dead? Amazing. He forgave people. He healed people. How can somebody hate such a person? You tell me, David. I know it's envious, but envious to such an extent? So you can really see, right? We need a very strong bull for a sin offering. How can we teach people what is holy, what is unholy, what is clean, what is unclean, what is life and what is death, if we are so living a life that is half dead? How can you teach people what is from above and what is from below? Because that's what the preacher do, not to teach doctrine. If I'm unholy and not practicing holiness, how can I teach you the difference between holy and unholy thing, you tell me? What would qualify me to teach people about that? If you don't know math, you don't even know what is 1 plus 1. You're going to teach me math? The qualification is very important. That's a consecration. That is to show the priesthood how important it is to be holy, to be sanctified, to deal with sin. Because we have no sense of the seriousness of sin before God. God is holy, and I'm unholy. Right? So, to consecrate the priesthood, Moses has to prepare a bull, a big one, a strong bull, to be the sin offering. This is why many of the Christian groups fell apart, because of sin. Really. And it's a shame to the Lord. It's a shame to the Lord. Right. So the consecration is not just, okay, we have a big bull there as a sin offering. No. No, you have to realize why. Why? Right. It has to be prepared to deal with sin. Not lightly, but thoroughly. Lord, cleanse me thoroughly. Everyone who saw the Lord will realize, Lord, I'm sinful. This is what happened with Isaiah in chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Right? Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne above, so holy, and you have the seraphim there, non-stop, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, and holy, the Lord God Almighty." Non-stop. Can you imagine? The seraphims doing nothing but just saying, "Holy, holy, holy." After hearing that for 5 minutes, Sophie, you would tell those angels, "Okay, I've had enough. Please sing another song." Why do you think the angels are doing that? To warn everybody. This is a holy place. If you're unholy, you cannot approach it. What is the first thing God told Moses when God appeared himself to Moses in the burning bush, you remember? And Moses was surprised. How come the bush was burning but not burned out? So he came near to take a look, a closer look, right? To examine it. What did God say? "Stop. Take off your shoes, Moses, because you're standing on holy ground." Did you ever hear God telling you that? "Nene, stop. You come to me. Take off your shoes." Meaning to say anything that is dirty. Cleanse yourself. Anything touching the ground. Remember, in the Old Testament days, in the temple of God, in the sanctuary, God dwells in the Holy of Holies. It's the most holy place. You have the most holy place, you have the holy place, and you have the outer court. And in Ezekiel, you even have two outer court, one outer court, and one inner outer court. And then you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies. My goodness. You have to go through a lot of inspection before you enter in. That wonderful picture shows us how to behave. How to behave when we come to see this God of glory. God is holy. God is righteous. And God is glorious. These three words described our God. Holy, righteous, and glorious. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Right? So holiness is a must. It is the very nature of God. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes and give us a sense to be sanctified. Right, so we need a big sin offering. And then we go to the consecration offering. Are you bored? Tired? Is it okay? So we need two consecration rams. Two rams of consecration. One is a burnt offering. One is for a burnt offering. What is a burnt offering? A burnt offering shows us that Christ our Lord is 100% for God, doing the will of the Father. That's why every part of the burnt offering is burned up for God. To satisfy God. In Hebrews chapter 10, "A body ye have prepared for me. Behold, I come, O God, to do your will." So in John chapter 6, when the disciples came to the Lord with some food, Right? Because they went away to buy food for the Lord. And when they came to the Lord and says, Master, eat. The Lord says, I already ate. They were surprised. Who gave him something to eat? What did the Lord say? My food is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. Not halfway through. Not just a little bit and quit. We like to quit, right? We're tired. Can you imagine the Lord quit? Just shortly before going to the cross, the Lord says, Father, that's too hard for me. Send Sam Huang to go to the cross. No, the Lord finishes work all the way to the cross. Don't think the Lord do not feel it. He was a man just like you and me, right? He became a man. That's why he was not only sweating, but he was sweating blood. Have you ever sweat blood? No. Because he was faced with death. And he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How much did I say and did you say? Lord, it's too hard for me. I can't do it. Send somebody else. Send Aussie. St. George. Yeah. St. Simon. Many times we just can't do it. But the Lord, no. The Lord finished the job. It's amazing. Right? He is the real burnt offering. This is why that's the first offering mentioned in Leviticus chapter 1. We would start with sin offering, right? But God started Leviticus with a burnt offering. Because Christ came to do the will of the Father. Amen. Even at the age of 12. None of us at the age of 12 will be doing the Father's business. Right? Timo, what were you doing at the age of 12? Praying or playing? Playing. Are you sure it's L, it's not R? You're pretty sure. The Lord was in a temple talking about the Word, the Scriptures, with those doctors. Discussing with them about the Word of God. And Mary, the mother, was busy looking for him. Where did he disappear to? And found him there. Then why did you do that to us? What did the Lord say? Sorry, sorry, Mom. I forgot. No, he didn't say that. Don't you know what? I'm just 12? Don't you know I'm just a kid? What did he say? I thought your father's business is a carpentry. No, he's doing the Heavenly Father's business at the age of 12. Behold, I came to do your will, O God. None of us would have done that. Right, BJ? Not just at the age of 12, we're not doing that. Even at the age of 42, we're not doing that. Even at the age of 52, we're not doing that. How old are you, George? Don't tell me your age. Well, we're not doing that. We're doing a lot of other things, even worthless things. But not doing the Father's business. Shame on me. Really. Right. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. Yeah. So that burnt offering is very important. There are two rams. One ram is for the burnt offering, showing the priesthood. You're called to be a priest to do a marvelous work, the will of God. What is worth doing on this earth, in this universe, more than the will of God, the creator of the universe? You tell me, Apple? You should tell your boss, Apple. Why do you call it Apple? Who created Apple? You're just working for Apple, right? But even now, they don't have apples anymore, right? You know, I know apples are the canteen of Apple. If you go there to eat, they even give you free apples, right? Not anymore, right? No, you're working for Apple too, right? No more apples. Run out of apples. No, to work for this wonderful creator is the most wonderful, honorable work. Not for any gain, not for any wages, not for a high position, nothing. It's an honor to work for him. He's the creator. He's God. Who can be a better boss? You came from Microsoft. Bill Gates of Hades. Uh-huh. I mean Bill Gates. What kind of boss is that? If you know what he has done and who he is, you want to have such a boss? You're going to go back to work for him? Sharon, are you happy? Your husband doesn't work for him anymore? To serve God is an honor. Don't think, oh, I have to serve him. No, no. It's a great honor. Beautiful service. Wonderful. Glorious. You think it's just to serve God, do something for God? No. No. Right. And then the second ram is a ram of consecration, right? It's an actual ram of consecration, to consecrate a priest to God. Right. So what do you do with the blood? How do you apply the blood of the ram of consecration? Firstly, in the right ear. Put the blood on the right ear. Have you ever done that? Put a blood on the right ear? No, right? No. You see. But you have to spiritually apply it. And then on your right thumb. And then on your right toe. Why is the ear so important? To listen. It's not just to listen. It is to obey. If a child doesn't obey, what do you always say to your child? You don't have an ear. Right? No ears. You don't hear. You don't listen. I like the German word, Gehorsam. Right? What does it mean, Gehorsam? Tell us. I'm not German. You're a German. You mean a person who is Gehorsam, he loves to obey. He's trained to obey. Right? To hear, to listen. Not to obey is the same as not obeying, not to hear. If you hear and you don't do it, then...
Equivalent to not hearing.
Equivalent to not hearing. Right. Do you like to have such children? Definitely not. Yeah. So... we need to learn to hear. At the end of the Bible, the Lord spoke to the seven churches, and to everyone he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking, not what a pastor is talking about, not what we are here talking about, but what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the churches. God is a speaking God. How come so many people didn't hear him? Because they don't have ears to hear. Does it mean they don't have two ears? They do. But their ears is not saved, not redeemed. They hear what they want to hear. And today they hear crazy music. It makes them crazy. Be careful what you hear. They hear lies. They like to hear lies. Look at the mainstream media today. Broadcasting all kinds of lies. Satan is a liar, the father of it. And he is a professional liar. The Lord describes Satan as a father of lies. He's a thief. He's a father of lies. And he's a murderer from the very beginning. People like to listen to lies, but the truth, they have no ears to hear the truth. I don't know if it is like that in Germany too? Unfortunately. Because we are all the same fallen human being. They have no ears for the truth, but have ears for lies, for gossip. If you say something that's gossip, yeah, what did Nene say? What happened? What happened to Nene? Yeah, tell me again. We're all ears, right? But to speak the truth, nobody likes to listen. What can we say? It's the same thing today in the States, in America, it's the same thing. You speak the truth, people hate you. You speak lies, you're welcome. So as a priest, our ears are very important to not to hear doctrines or teachings of men, but to hear the speaking of God. Our God is a speaking God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Our God is a speaking God. In the olden days, he spoke through the prophets. And today, he speaks in his Son. and the Son spoke through the Holy Spirit, not through man. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right? One time you brought a friend here, isn't it? And that friend saw those chart on the wall. And you explained to them, to him. And he seemed to be clear. And then he says, I'll go back and ask the pastor. And he never came back because the pastor told him it's all lies, not right, it's wrong. So who do you want to hear? What do you like to hear? Learn to hear the Lord speaking. Not man speaking. Be a Christian like the Bereans. They heard what Paul said, went home and checked with the scriptures to see what Paul said was right. Was Paul angry? What? You didn't believe me? Don't you know who I am? I am the great apostle Paul, the top apostle. And you don't believe me, you have to go and check the Bible, what I said. Did Paul say that? What did Paul say? They are more noble than all the other Christians Paul met. Why? Because they didn't just believe man's word. They went home and check it out to see. Don't check with your pastor. You check with the Word of God to see if God said so. Our ears are very important to hear not what man says, but to hear what the Lord is speaking. Learn to hear what the Lord is speaking. Why is it that John, that Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, and even in verse 20 already, you don't need any teacher? What? You don't need any teacher? Mo, do you need a teacher? You're so proud. What do you mean you don't need a teacher? Why don't you need a teacher? Because you already have one and the best. The Lord says, you don't need any teacher, BJ, because the anointing that dwells in you will teach you all things. You believe that? Why don't you practice it? So when you have a question, who do you ask? Okay, practice that, okay? Good. Good. Learn that. And the more you learn, the more you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Otherwise, you'll be like so many people, I don't hear anything. Well, it may be something wrong with your ears if you don't hear anything. You should apply the blood on your right ear. And what about the thumb? Why not your shoulder? Why the thumb? Why your fingers? Because that's where we do all the things and all the works, right? Whatever we do, whatever we hear, we must do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God our Father. Don't just do any kind of work. Of course, we are very capable. We can do a lot of things. But if you have a consecrated thumb, you know, without this thumb, your four fingers can do nothing. Have you ever tried to do something without a thumb? Try it, but don't chop it off. Without this thumb, you will have a lot of trouble working and doing things. How are you going to use chopsticks without a thumb? Yeah, try to eat tomorrow with chopsticks without a thumb, okay? See if you can do it. Some cannot even do it without a thumb. So it's much worse without a thumb. That is why only the thumb needs to have the blood applied, meaning to say, you do all things for the glory of God. Otherwise you'll be stealing and doing a lot of things that is not right. Why is there a commandment that says, thou shalt not steal? How do you steal? With your foot? No. Right. Whatever we do, in words or in deeds, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, and for the glory of God. Don't just do anything. No. We are priests of God, consecrated. Let other people do a lot of things. There are enough hands in this world doing all kinds of things. Right? But we are consecrated priests to accomplish the will of God our Father. To do the will of the Father. And then the toes. The toes. In the same principle. The toes are very important. It makes your walking, standing, doing anything very steady. Without your toes, you will be very unstable, wobbling. You will fall easily, you will trip. So your daily walk, the Bible talks about our daily walk. Praise the Lord. So you can see this consecration ram is very important. So make our life practical. The Lord wants to rule in every part of our life. And it's for our sake. It is actually the most glorious job in the whole universe. You may not realize it. But when the Lord comes back, you will finally realize it, but it might be too late. To serve the Lord our God, to love Him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole mind, and even with our whole strength. Somebody asked the Lord, what is the best, most important commandment? Or which one are you going to choose? The Lord answered them, the first and best commandment of all, the sum of all the commandment, is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to serve Him. Right. This is the priesthood. This is the priesthood. And then you should eat the food, the unleavened bread. That's why we have the Lord's table every week, right? To remind us to eat the unleavened bread, the bread from heaven, the food from heaven, to fill us with heavenly food, to eat Christ. To eat the Word of God. And then to eat in the temple, in the house of God. We cannot go much into details, but some today, so that we can have at least the sense of what consecration really means. Why are we consecrating ourselves? It's not an easy job, but the Lord will supply all of our needs. Otherwise, what are you going to fill your hands with? With all of these wonderful things of the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right. Then we can serve Him. 7 days completely. That means don't do it. 3 days you quit. Don't think 2 days consecration is good enough. No, it has to be a complete consecration. Right? You study medicine. How many years? 10. Why don't you just quit when you're 5 years? You quit. What will you be if you quit? Nothing. You won't be a doctor after you quit in 5 years. You get nothing. You're right. You study electrical engineer, you quit in the third year, fourth year, you quit before you graduate. Are you going to get a diploma? You get zero. I saw so many people burning in the very beginning for the Lord. And then after a while they quit. They quit. What do they get? They get nothing. They quit. Then you're nothing. Finish the job. Do it completely. And they have to do it in the house of God. You cannot consecrate yourself elsewhere, doing something else. No, it is connected to what God is building today. So you have to eat everything there for 7 complete days without leaving the temple of God. Do it there in the house. Because that consecration is absolutely for God's plan and purpose. Okay? All right. Time is up. Oh, I'm on time. Praise the Lord.